You look good today. All of you look good today. Not one without the smile and the joy. So we were talking a little bit about getting into deliverance, but it's Healing Sunday. Do you remember the five things that we said were, just areas we were going to talk about in deliverance? They were deliverance from sin, from enemies, from the world, from disease, infirmity, and from self. The last one's probably the toughest. As the guy said about his evil twin, he said he's on the move again. He's left Rochester and he's headed for Cincinnati. The trouble is, when he gets to Cincinnati, he's going to be there. Okay, so let's go back to Acts. Healing. Deliverance. Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "He himself," that's the Lord Jesus himself, this is fulfilled. The Lord Jesus himself took up our infirmities and carried away our diseases. He took them, carried them away. Some people don't want to go there because they believe in the Lord Jesus, that he paid for their sin and that he redeems them. And they believe that and they have confessed that. And the Bible says you believe in your heart that he is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and you're justified. This is Romans 10:10. And with the mouth you confess unto salvation. And getting born again is the first part of your salvation. Spirit, a new creature, the old things pass away. Soul, renewed in your thinking, in your mind. You no longer are darkened in your understanding. Or you should not be any longer darkened in your understanding. Remember, he said that to the best church in the New Testament, to the church at Ephesus in 4:17. He says, stop walking. And in chapter 1, he's saying, you guys are sealed and special and full of faith, and you got the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying for the fifth level of understanding and revelation in you, powers of the age to come. And then he says, stop walking as the Gentiles do, darkened in their understanding. And then the body. The body was made to self-heal and to recover. It was made that way. It's in its structure. You know, there's a big phrase going around the church now. It's in my DNA. Which is unfortunate, I think, because what it's saying is, you know, I'm naturally focused. It's not what's in my spirit that counts, it's what's in my DNA. But what they're trying to say is the Christian is a certain way. And a Christian is a certain way. He's a new creation. Your DNA don't matter anymore. You're not subject to that anymore. They actually now are just catching up with some of this. They actually know there are blank spots in your little DNA chain. You know, if you had your DNA chain, you stretched it out, it would reach to the moon. Have you ever had a slinky? You stretch it out, it doesn't reach the moon. But if you had your DNA and you stretched it out, it reached to the moon. Now, in there, what they used to think was evolution is actually adaptation. So evolution does take place within a species. You do get thicker hands if you work. Never mind. We won't go there. We'll go somewhere else. You get a quicker mind if you think. You'll get calluses on your feet if you're shopping all day. How's that? And just want to relate. So, but there are gaps in your chains where you can, where new things can just appear. And they can just be filled in. In other words, they're created in your system to allow you to develop, to increase. But I know people who don't want to talk about their soul getting saved, because it means they actually have to renew their mind, or their body getting healed, because then you have to expect it. And if they expect it, and it doesn't seem to happen the way they think, the way Nahum thought, behold, I thought this is going to work this way, then they say, well, how do I know when I accepted the Lord Jesus that I'm going to heaven? And then they begin to get all kinds of things in their head. And so they're afraid to approach healing. Don't worry, you haven't completed your salvation yet. When you do, you can start in on the kingdom. Most people are incomplete in their salvation because they're still stuck in ruts. And why you're stuck in the rut is because you're in the same place. You've got to put a little bit of gas in to get out of the rut. You have to make a little bit of effort to go forward. Or as the Bible says, you take territory when you start walking. And everywhere you walk, I can work with you. And so we're going to start to look at infirmities and disease as something we want to get progressively better at. And don't worry about that. Just get better at it. It's just like actually being born again. You go down to Billy Graham's service and you get saved and everything's wonderful. And the next day you feel terrible. You stayed up too late. Everybody was rejoicing and you got to get up at 7 o'clock to go to work and you feel terrible. You say, am I still saved? Your feelings didn't save you. And that's where you make decisions. That's why Billy Graham called his magazine Decision. You make a decision. You do the same thing in these other areas. Remember back there in that outline we said, number 6, never quit. Never quit your confession. Never quit remembering the word of your deliverance. Never quit that you reign in life. Remember that. Never quit that sin will have no dominion over you. Never quit remembering the joy set before you. So, in Acts 5, we're seeing what happened in the early church. How did it happen then? There was no particular reason other than people and the devil. But on God's side, the orders were already out. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. It's the calling card of the gospel. And when you do say, the kingdom is close to you. Are you getting close? If you need a Bible, there's Bibles on the back table. You're welcome to use them. Now, the apostles had been, before Acts 5, they had been sort of threatened not to put out the gospel. And they'd gone back to their companions. And they prayed together in one accord, in one voice. Remember remember we talked about several aspects of the kingdom, and the aspect we've been looking at lately is that there was a gathering, or in Genesis 11, the gathering was not good, and there was one voice, one language, a common word. And you see that again and again. And they went and to their companions and they prayed. This is interesting because they say they prayed and said, Lord, consider their threats. And this is what was spoken of by the prophets. And now stretch forth your hand to heal and to do signs. And it says, and the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit. Spirit came in. Now, 120 of them already had it, but they'd added 3,000. So some of these people didn't have it, but they all got filled there. Now, Acts 5. They're carrying on. They do carry on. There was war between the church and the world, between the church and religion. And there was glory coming in. Acts 5, 12. Did you get there yet? I mean, have I given you enough time? At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord. That's common spirit, common confession, common understanding. In Solomon's portico, that's gathering. The Holy Spirit is given to profit with all. Manifestations are primarily designed for the meeting, not for your individual edification. Faith is designed for your individual walk. Now they can overlap. Don't get religious on me. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. That's because a couple of them were caught lying just before this. In other words, they weren't of one accord. However, the people held them in high esteem. They're probably somewhere between 30 and 50,000. In the church at this point, a couple of months in. I believe the Lord would have been just happy if everybody had received the gospel and turned and they'd gone into all the world and everybody who had a voice and a spirit on the face of the earth in the next 10 years or however long it took to get to them had turned to the Lord. Now, it does keep increasing. It'll never stop increasing. They say there are more Christians on the face of the earth today than have ever lived before this generation. I'm talking about my generation. And this is increasing. You can't blaspheme it out of existence. You can't curse it out of existence. This power is increasing. The question is, are we getting involved? There were people who were in the church for years who refused it when Jesus came along. in the synagogues anyway. And the people held them in high esteem, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. So in Jerusalem, there were multitudes, more every day. They were just trying to get in position for his shadow to come by. And from the other cities, they had heard so much about this, they were carrying people in. You know what it is to carry? Suppose you had someone, you know, like you wanted to carry them into Winnipeg. So you got four guys with a stretcher. They didn't call up the ambulance. Now, they might have had some could ride. They were coming bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. That's the normal church after the resurrection. That's not Jesus' ministry. That's the church with the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus did it too. Yet Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Now he gives the Spirit to the church, and the calling card is healing. It happens where people come together with one accord, especially if there is someone there to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest. The first manifestation is deliverance and healing. He drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. So that's where we should be. The first manifestations we want to have is deliverance and healing. So what did they do? The people held them in high esteem. There was more healings in the church when it was highly esteemed. Not just a community activity. When they went into the church, they went into the church to hear and experience, to worship. Worship is first in our services. Worship is first. Now we have, if we have capacity, we have someone reading scripture before the service, so you can come in and just listen to scripture. You come in and you get ready for the service by listening to scripture. Now you greet one another, say hello. But fellowship is really designed for after church. Come in focused on the Lord. Come in expecting to get something. You remember how Peter did his first miracle? He participated in miracles before, but he did his first miracle when he was headed to church to pray. But the guy he met, who was sitting there begging at the gate, he was kind of, you know, like shaking the can, you know, like he It was, I guess, busy, and Peter was at a red light, and he was going down the line. Actually, he wasn't going down the line. He was just waiting for the line to go by him. And he was hoping he'd get something, and Peter looks at him and says, "Pay attention to us. Get focused over here. Shift your focus for a while." "Look at us," he says. And he looked. Now he's paying attention, but he's still not thinking the right way. He's thinking, "I'll get a couple bucks out of these guys." Peter says, "I didn't bring the credit card today, but I got something." And he got them focused. And then he spoke. And then he pulled them in to salvation. None of the rest dared to come to associate with them. There was such an esteem or reverence around the church that they know this was where power was. And you don't go in flippant, and you don't go in casual. You go in with your spiritual antenna all the way up. You ever see those fancy cars in the old days? They used to have antenna that you couldn't see it. And then you turn the radio on and the antenna would go all the way up. There was a 5-foot antenna in this old Aurora I used to have. Aurora was the ghost car. It was all smooth. It was the first Jelly Bean car. And if it was white, it would disappear in the fog, you know. And you turn the radio on, and suddenly the antenna would go up. And it would connect you to the world. There's some people like that car more than they like the body of Christ. There are people shopping around churches to get one they feel really be comfortable in. You shop for one where they'll allow you to worship in spirit and in truth. Where one they'll exhort you to believe more, not less. One where the kingdom is developing and people care for one another and spend time with one another to know how to care. And the rest doesn't matter. Because if the Lord's not in there, you're going to feel good for 40 years. And die in the same sins you started with, even if you're saved. You'll be still stuck in the same rut. None of the rest dared associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. This is where you went. This is what I try and get across. If you're sick, I don't care if you got one of them back stretchers or foot massages. The first thing you esteem about your healing is that the Lord is your healer. Don't tell me about the Mayo Clinic. Now, I like mayo. I have it with mustard quite often, especially on corned beef. But. And I'm not saying they're not trying to do good. I got a friend who gave me a vitamin pill once. He was trying to do good. I took it. Felt better. Well, might have been psychological. But the Lord is where you esteem your healing from. The church is where you look for confession and agreement. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number because they were focused and they were delivering. Now, I know I've heard testimonies from just basically every one of you about the Lord working. And you don't all stand up and clamor for it. But what I'm saying is, we got to keep that focus. I had a steak 3 years ago. It was really good. It was juicy. It was full of protein. The funny thing was, within 3 days, I was hungry again. Give us this day our daily bread. Healing is the children's bread. Even a crumb from the table. So our job is to focus and begin to receive these things that the Lord wants for us. But as a church, we need to be mindful. These days, they weren't the days of Elijah, they were days of the church. It was designed to start like this and continue to grow and increase till the end. Until the harvest was full, until the gospel was preached in every tongue and nation. At that time, they probably could have done it in 10 years. Never got the job done. Just like when they went into the kingdom, never got the job done. They stopped short. So when we get thinking, well, it just doesn't happen anymore. I'm waiting for God. I'm praying for God to do revival. You know, I'm praying for God to send the Messiah so we can all get saved. I'm praying for God to do something because I'm too lazy to get out of bed and do it myself. And Jesus has already said over and over again, freely you receive, freely give, take it out into the world, do this. And you're supposed to come back saying, even the demons are subject to us in this name. And we heal the sick. And if they won't listen, we just shake the dust off our feet and we find people who will. And there were people who were fighting this church at that time, and yet multitudes daily were coming in. Are you ready for that? God came along and said, I want you to heal 6 people tomorrow. I'm sending them to your place. Say, oh no, Lord, don't do that. I'd have to clean up. Or do you say, I'm ready? Bring him to me. I'll be ready. Now you personally get stronger in your salvation. And we're going to have time to pray for anybody who wants strengthening today, so that you enter into and we begin to come closer to this very simple thing. Jesus is gone. He's left the building. The limo has gone. The chariot went up. The cloud swallowed him. But there was such a power moving to such an extent, they even carried the sick out into the streets. Imagine. Laid them on cots and pallets. Carried them out. Laid them down beside the lineup for Costco. Because Peter is going to be in the line this morning. I mean, that it was just out in the street. Laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, these people are so sick they can't stand. They're carrying them. That's how bad they are. They're stretcher cases. And they're dragging them down to Costco. You got to have something when the people turn from their normal course of business to do this. They didn't go to the physician. They had physicians. Luke was a physician. Who needed Luke when you had Peter's shadow down at Costco? This is not something that will never happen. It's already happened. That when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. He was probably talking to them and touching them. But if they just get to the shadow, would it work? Well, what does it say? Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem, everybody who had heard, were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. The shadow cases, the visitors, they were all being healed. Now, I'll tell you something. The people who were going weren't going wondering. You didn't tie yourself to a gurney hitched to some donkey and get dragged 20 miles into Jerusalem on spec. In fact, you know how they got this touching the garment thing? It was the woman who knew she would get healed when she got to Jesus that turned the whole crowd, and then they all said, "We will get healed too." They didn't come defeated. They came believing. And they received. They received. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Build yourself to where you actually believe God is going to answer you. Build yourself to where you actually believe you have it before you see it. Build yourself. I know guys who are in second year. When I was in law school, I knew guys who were in second year knew they had the degree. They'd already paid the prof or whatever. But I know guys who were second year knew they were going to graduate. They had faith in it. "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed," she said. If I just get into his shadow, into Peter's shadow, it ain't Peter, it's the Holy Spirit. It isn't Peter, it's the power of God. It isn't Peter, it's the presence of the power of the body of Christ. And when I'm there, I'm going to have something. I'm going to come away healed. Doesn't say they were healed instantly. Jesus would get a lot of quick stuff. You know, 30 seconds or it's free. It doesn't say they were healed instantly, but it does say they were all healed. You got to get your spirit in front of your head, to where you know this word works. And when you do, you'd be surprised the crop that's produced. So as we begin to practice, we never mind the other six things we talked about before, just come to where we are now. We gather and we agree on these words. These are the words we speak to one another and to people we minister to those who come. These are the words. "He himself took up your infirmities and carried away your diseases." Believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. And they would all come together in one accord, and they were all being healed. We're going to take some time now. This is especially a time when we just come to agreement over things that you don't necessarily want to take on yourself. You can take these things on yourself. Your faith will get you well. Your faith, according to your faith, it'll be done unto you. And if you increase in faith, you'll increase in the flow of power to heal you personally, individually. You'll increase in the ability. Now, you got to build that faith, and you got to build that power. Some people are still at the earache stage. It takes them 3 weeks to get rid of an earache. Get that down to 3 days. Go somewhere. Do something. Some people, many people in this room, have taken on tough stuff. Cancer, diabetes, tough stuff. It yields too. Stronger you are, faster you'll be able to take it. But when we're together, two agreeing on earth together is an extra level of power. The church was designed to gather. That's why in Genesis 11, he said they're all together. And they all have one language. And those two things, even though they're not even in my will, make things possible for them. That's why it's an affront to the church to be told not to gather. You know, a lot of Christians thought it was a bad idea for churches to meet. That's Ephesians 4:17. Walking as the Gentiles walk, darkened in understanding. And what's the rest of that? Excluded from the life of God. Talking to the Ephesians, the high-end Christians. Okay, let's just take some time. If you want prayer, come on down. If there's more people here, you can sit down in the front row. We got lots of people who can help you, and we'll pray for you. We'll agree with you. You got something that you don't want to talk about too much? You don't have to talk too much. I think people that I have prayed with about cancer, and they got healed. Half of them I didn't know, or they didn't say. Sometimes I know anyway. But they didn't say that it was cancer. They just said, I'm sick. Please pray for me. You see, if you're going after the Lord, you're going after the Lord. If you're looking for agreement that the Lord is going to help you, that's what you're looking for. Don't worry about the details. Highly esteem the Lord. Highly esteem the Lord. And go get some. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come. It's free. Come.